in the name of Jesus. I have evangelical friends who love Jesus just as much as I love Jesus. They even love something of Luther's catechism. They love what it says about the Ten Commandments and about the Creed and about the Our Father, and then they get stuck when we get to baptism. They say, Bruce, baptism cannot work forgiveness of sins, rescue from death and the devil, or give eternal salvation. Only Jesus can do that. But Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. He inspires Peter to write, baptism now saves you. He inspired Peter to say, repent every one of you, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. In other words, my evangelical friend's argument really isn't with me or with the catechism. It's with God. They're right, of course. Only Jesus can give to us forgiveness, rescue, salvation. But you and I can't climb up to heaven and get those gifts. We need them delivered to us. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say that you have decided that you are going to purchase for me an F-150 pickup truck from Carvana. By the way, thank you very much. I'm very grateful. See me right after chapel and I'll give you the specifications that I would prefer. You purchase this truck, but it's still sitting in Carvana's, what do they call those, car vending machines a couple of states away. It doesn't do me any good until it is delivered to me and I take possession of it. It's paid for in full. You paid for it, but I need it delivered. Jesus purchased your salvation by his death and resurrection, and it took both death and resurrection. Paid in full, but it does you no good until it's delivered to you and you take possession of it. The Holy Spirit is the delivery person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the one who delivers all that Jesus has done to you. He doesn't use a Carvana flatbed truck or FedEx or UPS. He's got his own fleet of vehicles. One of his vehicles is a baptism vehicle. He combines his word with water so that you can feel it. He also has a Bible vehicle. He combines his word with print on a page so you can read it. He has a spoken word vehicle. He combines his word with sound waves so that you can hear it, like in preaching, absolution, evangelism. Oh, and the Holy Spirit also has a food truck. He combines his word with bread and wine, in which he places the once crucified and now risen body and blood of Jesus. This is how the Holy Spirit delivers all the benefits of Jesus to you and me. My evangelical friends have it partly right, but they don't get that delivery system. Keep talking to the evangelicals, not to win points. This isn't high school debate. Not to accomplish an argument or out of fun, we don't engage in recreational polemics. Keep talking to them because you want them to understand how God uses holy baptism to give to them all the benefits that Jesus won for them on the cross and by his empty tomb. Now, what are the benefits that baptism gives? It works forgiveness of sins. That's very important for us who are guilty. Peter looks at this crowd on Pentecost. These people who were not around shouting, crucify him, because they were at their homes, hundreds, thousands of miles away. They're pilgrims, after all, there for Pentecost. And he says, you crucified Jesus. He looks at you and me, and he says, you crucified Jesus. And he's right. If it weren't for your sin and mine, Jesus wouldn't have been on that cross. You are guilty. I am guilty. And we cannot remove our guilt. Brothers and sisters, what should we do? Oh, Peter told us. Repent. Turn from your sin. Hand it to Jesus. Don't return to it. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness, the leaving behind of your sins. Your guilt is erased. But what happens if you are guilty now, but you were baptized years ago? Peter said, repent and be baptized when you realize your guilt. Should you be rebaptized? No. Baptism is a constant in the Christian life, and so, I'm sorry, repentance is a constant in the Christian life, and so is baptism. At your baptism, God the Father turned on the faucet, and he hasn't turned it off since. It's as if there is a shower that's following you around every day of your life, cleansing you, washing away your guilt. You have, baptism has worked forgiveness of sins for you. It also rescues you from death. Now, how do you know that you're alive? Let's see, you could check your heartbeat, check to see if your lungs are working, check to see if you have brain waves. That's what the world calls life. That is not life. That is death waiting to happen. Because at some point along the way, your brain and your heart and your lungs are going to cease functioning. You need real life, life that not even death can end. Because sometime you're going to punch your time clock and collect the wages of sin. And when the coroner confirms that you are dead, it's not like you could grab some AED paddles and shock yourself back to life. All you can do is lay there dead, wishing that you had real life. Real life only comes to you from the one who has real life in himself, that is God. The God who was dead for 3 days. Let's be a little more specific. God the Son was dead for 3 days, but death could not hold him. So, dear believers in Christ, death cannot hold you who are baptized into him. I like how St. Paul talks about what we do with the bodies of Christians in 1 Corinthians 15. Did you ever notice he doesn't say that we bury them? He says that we sow them, plant them. We need to be using this kind of language. When you bury something, you put it in the ground and you expect it to stay there. When you plant something, you put it in the ground and you expect it to come out again. We plant Christians. Death, you cannot end my gladness. I am baptized into Christ. On the last day, my grave will be empty, and maybe God will even put an angel there to say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. She is not here. They've risen. Just as their Savior said, he has given to them real life, life that not even death can end. Baptism also rescues you from the devil. He continues to attack you, right? Temptations every single day, reminding you of all the ways that you have failed your God. What should you do when the devil attacks you? Tell him to go to hell. That's where he's going to end up. You remind yourself, and you remind him, you do not belong to him. Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. You're trying to get me to live for me. That's what got me into trouble to start with. I will live for my Lord Jesus, who has rescued me. You have been rescued from the devil. You have been united with your God. You've been given what Jesus has done for you, made God's child in holy baptism. And you have been given eternal salvation. If Jesus did not live for you and die as a sacrifice for you and then rise victorious for you on the third day, then you and I have something far worse to fear than death. We have hell, damnation, being forsaken by God. That is the destiny of every son of Adam and daughter of Eve who inherits their nature. Unless the only one who hasn't inherited their nature breaks into this world and changes our destiny, and that is precisely what he has done. If the judge says, Bruce, you owe $1,000 in fine, he does not care if I pay the fine or if somebody else pays it for me. He only cares that the fine is paid. God the Father does not care whether you pay your debt in hell or whether somebody named Jesus pays it for you. He only cares that it is paid. Now wait, let me back that up. He does care who pays it. That's why he sent his dear son into this world for you to suffer hell. Because he doesn't want you to be abandoned forever. Oh, if you refuse to receive it, if you reject it with unbelief, he'll reluctantly send you to hell. You will be abandoned, but that is not his preference. Now, how is it that you know that Jesus has suffered hell for you? Well, he said so. My God, why have you forsaken me? He was suffering hell, being forsaken by God. He was forsaken so you are not forsaken, abandoned so you are not abandoned. He was without God so that you are never without God. He suffered the damnation so you get eternal salvation. This is why you can live for your Lord, speak for your Lord, work for your Lord, and if necessary, die for your Lord. Because the Holy Spirit has used baptism as his delivery truck to give to you all that Jesus did for you by his cross and resurrection. You have all those benefits. And what are the benefits of baptism? Well, for us who are filled with guilt, it works forgiveness of sins, washes away our guilt. For us who are dying, it rescues us from death and restores to us real life, life that not even death can end. For us who are attacked by Satan, it rescues us from the devil and unites us with our Lord. And for those of us who are in danger of damnation, it gives to us eternal salvation, as the words and promises of God declare. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.